Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
We're live. People can hear us. We're rocking and we're rolling.
Hey, guys. Don't ever say that again, Steph.
That's such
a mum thing to say. My mum used to say that. You just reminded me. Now we're rocking and rolling. That's what she used to say.
Now we're rocking and rolling. It's a very parent thing to say, isn't it? Cheers, Hannah.
Cheers.
To the, I don't know.
Just cheers, another day of existence. Because the UK loosened lockdown yesterday.
Way, way. Why did I say that? Way, way. Who says that?
I don't know, but you are drinking a Bloody Mary right now, so maybe that's why you said way, way.
Oh, God, I wish we could start again, but it's all live now. I never want to say way, way again. Who fucking says
way, way? Oh my God,
way?
Please put that on a t-shirt for yourself.
Why would I say that?
I don't know. Anyway, let's dig you out of this hole, shall we?
I was making my Bloody Mary downstairs and I was thinking about it as I was making it. And I was thinking, if we ran out of mixers and you said, don't worry, I'll knock something up, and went into the kitchen and came back with this and said, look, I've made you a drink with tomato juice and vodka in it, and I taste and put celery in it, and I would taste it and I'd probably be sick. I'd be like, I'm not drinking that. That's disgusting.
I personally really don't understand Bloody Marys, but I feel like I'm not at that age yet, no offense, where Bloody Mary is appealing to me.
Do you know why why I like Bloody Marys?
Tell me.
I'll tell you, Hannah.
Way.
don't say that. Please don't bring me back. Give me flashbacks. Because you and I had a massive argument in London once. And I...
Thanks for bringing it up.
I can't remember what it's about. I messaged my mate Jono and I said, Jono, I need a shoulder to cry on. Can you meet up with me? And we met up in Shoreditch House in London. And he was like, get a Bloody Mary. And I said, I don't know, I don't like them. He goes, no, just trust me, just get a Bloody Mary. See what I'm talking about. And he made me get a Bloody Mary. And we both sat there and that rooftop bit. And I unleashed to him my grievances, and he made it feel much better. And after that day, I was like, actually, I like Bloody Marys now. They're really nice. But like I said, if you made me that and they didn't exist, I'd probably be sick. So I think it's just, I don't know, it's a weird thing, isn't it? How you can, because it's a thing, because Bloody Mary's a thing.
You like it.
I like it.
So I was on Instagram the other day. This is probably going off on a bit of a tangent. And my friend Jess Avey, she is like a positivity coach type thing, and she was she put up this reel which I really liked, which said, I think it was called Rain is Rain. So she was basically explaining that nothing in life has meaning until you give it one. So
sounds like a nihilist.
In some countries, people might welcome the rain and be like, yes, it's raining, the crops are going to grow. And then in other countries, we'll put like this negative spin on it and be like, oh no, now I can't do this, or I'm going to get wet, or whatever. But it just reminded me of that, because I don't know, there's certain like restrictions that we put on ourselves, or like rigid ideas that we have, aren't there?
Yeah.
And when you kind of zoom out, you think, why do we have those rigid ideas? Like there was a book I was reading the other day, and the guy was saying that he went back to his parents' house and it had been snowing, and he started to shovel people's driveways when he got back in the middle of the night. And his parents were like, why are you doing that now? You don't need to do that now. Do it in the morning. No one does it at night. And he was like, I want to do it at night. I'm going to do it at night, because you can shovel snow at night if you want to.
Okay.
Anyway, I told you it was a tangent, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. If it rains, what is it? What did you say?
Rain is rain. Doesn't have meaning until you give it one. I just thought that was something quite nice to
but that's true with everything. Nothing in life has meaning until you give it meaning, really, don't you?
Exactly. So you can kind of make it your own.
It's all quite a meaningless experience, really. Well, it depends.
It depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I am a true
nihilist. Lower the tone.
I am a true nihilist, though. I don't believe life has any intrinsic meaning. But I just think we have meanings that associate to it. But yeah. So what's been going down in your world today then, Hannah Mags?
My world today has involved studying. I've been studying all day.
How many hours have you done now?
What, completely, altogether? Yeah. I'm 80% through, so I have done 160 hours, which is a lot. But I kind of can see that like end in sight now, which I'm really excited about because then I'll be like qualified. But at the same time, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to stop learning.
Yeah.
Like I'm really enjoying it. And I'm always really excited to kind of get in my little office and get started. Like I'm eager to learn still, even though I'm so far through the course. I was thinking about it earlier, actually, and how for somebody like me who I feel really comfortable in front of the camera and I feel less comfortable in a room full of people talking to a room full of people staring at me. So being able to learn and do this training online has been really beneficial to someone like me who might normally stray away from that because the anxiety of being in a room full of people staring at me would outweigh me, not outweigh me wanting to do it, but it would put such a pressure on me. Like I wouldn't be able to sleep the night before and I'd worry about group dynamics and like all of this other stuff that shouldn't be part of it, that would distract me from the actual learning, or maybe it would stop me from like voicing my opinion or kind of going to correct a posture.
Sorry, somebody keeps pinging me. It's really annoying. Let me try and stop that while you carry on talking about that.
That's all right.
Who the bloody hell is that? I hate them.
Can you just not look at your screen while I talk? It's so
rude.
Silence.
I'm just going to silence it somehow.
Someone needs to teach this man how to be polite.
Whoever is doing this, I hate them.
Why don't you just not look at the screen?
Because it's going ping and it's going to annoy everyone at home when they're hearing this pinging sound. And I don't know who it is. It's that bloody Icebreakers group. That's who it is. Quick WhatsApp. It's that Icebreakers, the group of...
somebody just commented saying, you've inspired my husband and I to start our own podcast in the next 2 weeks. Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, Icebreakers.
Good luck.
We did this thing the other day where about 30 of us all went down and all climbed. It was so funny. You just looked up and I all of a sudden saw like 30 pasty middle-aged men wading into the river. It was such a sight for sore eyes.
Sorry.
Is that you?
Yeah, that was my move goal. I've just reached my move goal, guys.
Oh my god, this is so depressing. It was quite an interesting experience. But my friend Neil was going to get us some hats made, saying the Little Dippers, which is our little group name. The other guys are called like the Icebreakers, and they were called the Man Makers. They rebranded to the Icebreakers because I think it was a bit it alienated a lot of women from getting into cold water. Not that any women do it. Actually, no, that's a lie. There's been a few women do it.
Do you want to tell us about your new venture, Steph?
Oh, yeah. Grace and Ashes, bloody hell, man. So I launched that on Saturday night and I was really nervous about doing it. And I had the Instagram out there and I was like, oh, God, the minute I press send, it's done.
It's a thing, yeah.
It's a thing. So I sat there for ages looking at it going, oh, God, what's going to happen? And then I put it out and then there's always a quiet patch for like a few minutes before like everything go crazy. So there was a little quiet patch where it's like the calm before the storm almost. And then bang, the orders just started flooding in. And I was like, okay, this is good. Orders are coming in. And then more orders and then more orders and then more orders. And then I was like, oh shit, there's a lot of orders now, which is good. It's a good problem to have. But they just kept flying in. So I've been frantically now trying to order in more stock. I've been frantically like my printer's working like crazy. I'm just doing everything I can to get them out.
It's funny
which
because
is great.
When you were ordering everything, I was like, don't overorder because we've had ventures previously where we've like overestimated or underestimated. And it's quite a tricky thing to know what the reception's going to be like when you start an online shop, isn't it? So I think it's a good problem to have, but you're going to have a lot of people waiting, but that's fine.
Well, they're not going to wait for that. I mean, I've messaged everyone to let them know, be patient. People are getting their stuff now, which is good, but there's different things being sent from different places, so I'm just a little bit, I don't know, I think I'm really happy. It's a good problem to have, but I just don't want to, somebody keeps calling me, leave me alone, scumbag. Did you know you can do that on your watch? If your watch is ringing, just slap your watch and then it will stop. It will go silent.
I didn't.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So no, I'm really delighted with how it's gone, and I'm very happy with it. And I want to start listing more artwork on there and commissioning more stuff. It's great. It's good to have something. I do think the cold water dips have inspired this business, because I'm so, after dipping in cold, after getting in cold water in the morning, you get out of that cold water and you're so on fire and you're so like alert and so ready to go that you just want to, you sit down and you're straight away, you're super efficient. So I've been working on it like crazy, but I think that's the cold water that's really helped, I think. Yeah, no, but it's great. I'm really proud of it, and I'm really looking forward to getting more pieces on there and working with more artists and expanding the range.
I think that's it. That's a really nice touch to the website, though, is that a lot of the work on there is from people we know that may be local or friends or just people we know that have like a really great talent or have like a little niche, and it's nice to kind of put a spotlight on that or...
Yeah.
Just to work with other people who are passionate about artwork, it's just a really nice way to kind of put it all together somewhere, you know? And then you've also got like pieces from obviously more well-known artists that are prints that are affordable prints. And so there's a real mix of stuff on there. It's not just like, it's not high end. It's not like high street. It's kind of like a real...
There is some high end stuff on there. A couple of hundred quid, I think, one of the artists goes for, but... Yeah,
is
like
that
huge, that's the huge print that we have in our kitchen.
What's his name, the guy? I don't know
It's
his
a Spanish name, and I find it really difficult to pronounce.
I love that print so much. We've had that for years. I still remember the day we got that print.
I think I'm getting
I'll put it on my Instagram today, just in case anyone is wondering which print we're going on about, because it really annoys me in podcasts when people talk about something that you can't see that you need to see.
But weirdly, the one of the best-selling prints on there was a piece of artwork that I made just saying, "This shit is not art." It's like just it's a font that says
that one on there. It says, "I don't know what the fuck I'm doing."
Yeah, that's on there. "I don't know what the fuck I'm doing." That's on there. That sold a few as well. But yeah, it's
this person's really.
It's one of those weird obscure numbers as well that I don't trust.
Oh, it's probably like some horrible bill we haven't paid. That's what I always think when I see a number that comes up. I'm like, what have I done wrong?
Yeah,
this person desperately needs to get hold of me. That gives me anxiety, actually.
I'm keen to get like stuck into more artwork as well and produce more stuff, and I get some old hard drives out and see if I have anything in there that isn't of the kids, like nice shots of like South Bank and stuff. I think there's some beautiful brutal architecture of the what is it called? I always just start shooting down there. What's that place called?
South Bank.
Yeah, what's the building called that I love shooting?
I don't know.
The big brutal one down on South Bank.
I don't know. Why are you cross with me?
Why is that person keep calling me? Can I just answer this? I'm going to see who this is and tell him to leave me alone.
Can you not just turn your phone off?
No, hang on.
You're in the middle of a live podcast. It's a bit rude.
Hello. They just hang up. This is the weird thing about these numbers. They call
you. Oh, someone said hello from sunny Cape Town. Hi. Oh, that sounds like heaven. Love to be in Cape Town right now.
I need to block that number. Yeah. I hate when they do that. I get so many of these calls where they call you and then they just
Somebody
hang up.
Somebody said, "Will you post prints to South Africa?"
Yeah, man, we sold some to South Africa the other day. I think somebody bought one of those Spanish guy art pieces and we sent that off to South Africa, and another one by this architect that I really like called Lewis Bartlett, I think his name is, that I've got listed on there.
Oh, the Barbican, someone said.
Yeah, that's it, the Barbican. Thanks,
thank
man.
You.
Yeah,
the Barbican. We're about to have an argument about that.
I get this stage fright thing that happens where this new thing's actually started happening to me where I'm trying to do something and then, you ever have the dream where like there's a telephone ringing and you can't get the number and you can't punch it in, you're panicking? This is a consistent dream that I have where you need to dial a number or you need to do something, but things are stopping you from doing it. And it's a simple thing to do, but you can't do it and you're just freaking out. And the more you freak out, the worse it gets. I've been doing that a lot recently with like everything in life. It just feels like, oh God, I go into like this hyper panic mode for a second. I don't know what it is.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness.
If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just need to breathe and chill out.
Yeah, I do. I need to chill the F out. But yeah, no, we had a lovely day yesterday, didn't we? For the first time, actually went out properly and sat down, had some food.
Yeah, the funny thing was, though, that I wasn't really in a place where I felt the need or really wanted to do that. Like, I wasn't massively fussed about things opening up, and I sort of felt like, oh, there's going to be queues and crowds, and like, I just wasn't really in the right headspace to go and be like in public. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm so used to just being at home now and having every meal at home, and like, everything is like a little bubble, isn't it?
Did you notice how happy everyone was to be out, though? You could just see it in their faces.
Yeah, like, oh, wow, it was genuinely so nice to see people having a good time and seeing each other, and the general like mood just was so positive, and everyone just, I don't know, it felt like everyone had just like breathed this big sigh of relief. And it wasn't strange, or I don't know, it was just so nice to, it's such a simple thing, but so nice just to go and have a glass of wine, not in your house.
Yeah.
And have a meal that you didn't cook yourself.
Yeah.
Like, that was the highlight, and not have to think about the dishes or anything like that. It was just really lovely. And I think, in a way, I think it's because we didn't put any pressure on it, and it was a bit of a spur of the moment thing. And we'd not been looking forward to it for like 2 weeks and being like, oh, it's going to be really nice, we've got to go and like have the best time. I think sometimes that's, I don't know, with me, I sometimes can feel disappointed if I put pressure on something like that. Whereas when it's a spontaneous thing, I don't know, it seems to just work better.
Yeah. And the good thing about lockdown easing now is it'll be only a few weeks before we can start getting people in on the podcast and have guests for the first time, which I think will be pretty cool. I'm interested in trying that out. But
I think you'd be good at that because you used to like interview for your job. I think I'd be rubbish at that.
No, you're a better conversationalist than I am.
Although it depends who it is. Mm. If it's like one of my friends, then it'll be easy.
Yeah, but I think you should have a chat with one of your friends, just maybe not with alcohol in case it... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about guests. I think I might just leave that to you, to be honest.
So should we tell everyone how we came up with the name of Grace and Ashes?
I don't really remember that clearly.
Yeah, why don't you remember that clearly? I think it was when we were in Amsterdam.
I don't really want to have this conversation on a live podcast.
That was fine. We were in Amsterdam.
You can lead the way.
We were in Amsterdam doing what you do in Amsterdam. I think we were in a cafe at some point, enjoying the local delicacies of a cafe in Amsterdam, and got really stoned. I think it was the same sort of time that I had this epiphany. We went into this weed shop, and I said, "Can I?" Well, basically, I just said, "You looked at the menu, and on the menu, you chose this one called, what was it called? Do you remember the name of it?" Pure Haze.
Oh yeah, it was Pure Haze. I think I did that thing that I do sometimes. I do it a lot in like supermarkets and things, where I'll see something and I'll go to like pick it up or like reach for it, and then I'll end up accidentally picking the thing right next to it and like looking away. And it's just one of the things that I do that's like really scatty. And sometimes if I'm like ordering something and I read like a description or whatever, I'll order the thing that's like right next to it by accident. And I think that's what happened, because there is no way I would have ordered that purple haze otherwise.
Oof. Well, we sat down in the cafe and
I had to go and lie down for 6 hours.
I had a bit, you had a bit. And I've been partaking since I was a child, like since 18, 19. So I'm a fay with how this stuff works. And we shared, I think, half of a spliff in this cafe.
It wasn't even half.
Probably wasn't half. We had a few puffs each. And I just felt like, okay, I feel like I've already hit the spot where I've had too much after a few puffs even. And we were like, let's just leave it there. So we just took the rest with us and left the cafe. And then boom. I mean, I went into a different dimension. I didn't think even you could get that from weed. I mean, I never even knew that was possible. It was the most psychedelic experience, I think, one of the most psychedelic experiences in my life. It was crazy.
It was amazing, but there was part of me that wished there would be a warning. but then also saying that I don't think I would have done it if I'd read the warning, or if I'd known that that's exactly what was going to happen. I think I would have probably not done that.
So we were walking along holding hands, and I almost felt like I broke through this time barrier, and everything was kind of got, everything went into this kind, I felt like I went into infinity, and I came out of it with this weird epiphany where I went into this beautiful state and then came out of it thinking, what was that? And I was convinced afterwards, I even said to Hannah when I was holding hands, like, I've just had an epiphany. She's like, and then you would try to calm me down. Anyway, we managed to somehow stumble back to our hotel room, lie on the bed for 6 hours. We just lay there laughing, didn't we? Just giggling at the root ceiling. And then I was like, after that, I was like, right, that was definitely laced with something. That was laced with acid. That can't have been, you know, I've been smoking weed since I was a kid. That's not what weed's like. I've never had, so I had to go into the guy the next day and I was like, look, mate, I'm not going to make a fuss. I just want to know, what was it laced with? What was in that? Because that was not weed. And he looks at me straight in my eyes. He goes, welcome to Amsterdam, buddy. And that was my Amsterdam accent, my Dutch accent. And I was like, oh my God. I think it was just a really hyper strong strain.
When we went back and I looked at the menu, I think it was basically a mix of loads of different types of weed. Like all mixed together.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, you can't sell that to people without warning them.
It was like real waves of like just strangeness. Mm. That's how we came, the name of Grace and Ashes, and I don't know how.
I think I came out of it I went into the epiphany and came out with the great name Grace and Ashes. I don't know if that's where it was. But I think at some point on that trip, when we were a little bit lean, we came up with the name Grace and Ashes.
Do you think you'd like to open an actual shop, like a tangible shop for the prince?
No.
I think it would be really nice. No. Or a pop-up shop. A pop-up shop would be good.
I don't think so. I don't really trust retail enough. I've seen how decimated it's been and how badly burned people have got that have got into retail. So I just don't trust it. I do trust online. I think, like, you know, people now can make online shops. I mean, you worked for a little business, an independent business in Bath, didn't you? They've since shut down, but you'd see like sometimes one customer come in a day.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they didn't have the best location though. It was
still,
like at the top of town, and you had to know it was there. Really, it was kind of tucked away. But yeah.
But how could they afford to pay staff and business fees and all that kind of stuff with one customer a day?
Can I change the subject and do a recommendation?
Hell yeah.
Which is a joint recommendation. So Steph and I are really into horror films. We really like watching.
We did speak about this last week,
horror
by the way.
Films. Oh, did you?
Yeah, we spoke about Shadow last week on the last podcast.
Oh, I thought you said just cancel it when...
No, I said cancel it to get an extra month.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you go cancel. When
anyway.
Sorry.
Shudder's really good. If you really enjoy horror, there's quite a few on. I think we've watched about three now. But there's a really wide range of horror films, and all the subtitled ones those are my favourite. They're a little bit longer than a normal film, which I also really enjoy, although we do have to split it up between like two nights because I cannot stay awake long enough. It gets to like 9:45 and I'm like, I need to go to bed now.
Yeah.
If I don't go to bed now, I'll be grumpy in the morning.
I love being terrified. It's a good feeling, isn't it? Although, saying that, I was terrified in that last film that we watched where there's that creepy, horrible thing climbing out from under the bed. That was freaky.
That didn't scare me that much.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that one bit. There was one scene where this person went into the bathroom and his wife's body was just... had one of those shower baths where you stand in the bath and shower yourself, and their body was just getting thudded from left to right, from one side of the bath to the other against the wall. And it was just over and over. And even when he went up to it, he was like, what's going on? And crying and stuff. And it was just going one side to the other and there was blood. It was everywhere. It was horrible. It was a nasty scene. I really like it when horror films start a film with something like that. Like, I think, what was it? It Follows did that, where that was an amazing horror film, It Follows. And one of the early scenes was this contorted dead figure on a beach. And you were like, so you go into it straight away thinking, okay, I now know how dark they're prepared to go in this. And then you're really interested in where they're going to go. So I always like it when films do that. And that one did something similar. But no, I think it's a really good thing. Saying that, I got a call from, speaking of horror films, I got a call from the holiday camp that Grayson and Rufus are in today, saying, I'm just calling to check something. Has Grayson been watching Freddy Krueger? Because he keeps going on about Freddy Krueger.
I told you that was going to come back and bite you in the ass. When you started telling our seven-year-old about Freddy Krueger, I was like, can you just not do that?
He's so injured. He loves dark. He loves, like, horror. He's like me when I was a
kid. He's asked me for a poster
horror.
For his bedroom, and I'm like, absolutely
what, a Freddy
no
Krueger
way.
Poster?
Yeah.
That's so funny he asked you that, because I told him when I was his age, I had a Freddy Krueger
yeah,
poster.
Yeah, that's why he
scream.
Wants it.
It's so scary. But he's just one of those kids that just likes scary stuff.
It's funny because I can imagine him when he's old enough sitting there in the evening watching horrors with us.
Yeah, he'll love horrors. Yeah, my mum loves horrors, my sister loves horrors, my nieces love horrors. They're a big horror family.
It's so funny because my family really aren't, like, my sister won't watch anything like that, and
really?
My mum never really liked anything like that, but I think because a big part of my university degree was film and, like, analysing film, and one of the modules I did was horror, so ever since then I've just, like, quite obsessed with it. I just find it really interesting to watch and see, like, the pattern. It's like you can't unsee the pattern once you know the pattern, or like if you know the names of the shots or certain types of characters, you can't unsee that afterwards. So it's kind of, it's nice to watch something and analyze it, you know.
90% of them seem to be like a family moving into a new house, there's a troubled teen, the house is a little bit creepy. That seems to be 90% of the horrors that we tend to watch.
Yeah
But no, there's some really good stuff on Shudder. We're gonna probably pop on another one on tonight maybe and check another one out. But yeah, that's a good recommendation. What have I got to recommend? I can recommend a website that sells loads of amazing artwork called graceandashes.co.uk. There's some amazing stuff on there. Be prepared to wait 6 months for your stuff though. I'm joking, it won't be that long. It takes like the I've got a bit of a backlog, but I'm on it like a bonnet.
Oh no, that was another one. Hey, we should start doing, like, whenever Steph says something cringy, everyone has to do a shot.
Have you seen The Witch? Somebody says, no, I've not seen The Witch. I think we tried to watch it, but it was really dark, the start of it.
I don't remember it.
It was this, I remember it starting off in a forest or something, and it was almost like medieval kind of thing, and I don't think I could persevere with it. I think we should persevere. Something happened with a baby at the start or something. I remember watching a bit of it and being like, I can't really get into this. We should give it another go, maybe. It's supposed to be quite good. My best ever horror film, I think, is... Oh, God, I always forget the fucking name. What's it called, Hannah? You know the one.
Know
we always talk about
film
it.
Film is.
I'll be back in a sec.
Sir something or other.
Yeah. Sorrento.
No, I don't know the name of your favourite film. I'm sorry. I don't have a favourite horror film. Like, for me, I watch them... Get scared by them or don't get scared by them, analyse them and then totally forget about them and move on to the next one.
It's not Serenity.
But no, of course it's not Serenity. No, it's not Who Serenity, would name a horror film Serenity?
I always do this thing where I panic and my brain like backfires and malfunctions, where there's this thing that I know and I know how to say it, but then when I get stage fright and I
Hereditary?
Panic. Hereditary. Bang. Thank you, whoever said that. Hereditary. That is one of my best horror films.
I think
love that
you
film.
Can't remember because you've had a strong Bloody Mary.
Yeah, and a life of debauchery slowed down my brain. Yeah.
Right, yeah, I might have to go back to my studies in a minute, my love.
Okay, we'll wrap this up then. Thanks very much for watching. We're going to call this a short one today. How long have we been doing it today? Let's have a look. How long have we been going? 26 minutes, that's all right. Oh. 26 minutes. Thank you.
Serendipity. No, that's not the name of a horror film. Hereditary.
Yeah, Hereditary.
Yeah, it's definitely Hereditary. Hereditary was scary. I remember Hereditary being so scary that you had to come to the toilet with me afterwards. I don't know if I could watch that again because I know how scared it made me the first time.
Somebody says that they hated the ending of Hereditary. My mum hated the ending of Hereditary too. And I think sometimes it's difficult to tie up a horror film. Like, it's very, like, last night, how
oh
they...
my God, the funniest thing happened in the film we were watching last night. Like, so I think it was almost 2 hours long. And then the last scene, they basically got the ghost to fling a chair at the camera and then it just went black and ended.
Yeah.
And we were like, what?
Yeah.
You didn't tie anything up.
Yeah, nothing was tied up.
I mean, maybe they were lining up for a number two, but, you know, if it lasted that long and there was no... It's like they just got bored and they were like, let's just end this.
Yeah. I said that to you there. Like, it's almost like sometimes they don't plan the film out and they just get to the end and they're like, what do we do? What do we look
Throw
around?
Throw a chair
like, we've got
at
a
the
chair
camera.
There. We can make that fly towards the camera. Cut to black and yeah, let's do that. Yeah. Because you can't imagine that getting past the writing room being like, well, how do we end? It's a chair.
Somebody said Split is a great thriller. Horror thriller. Let's watch that.
Okay. We'll try that
Thanks
one.
Thanks for the recommendation.
Split. Yeah. Let's give that a go.
Anyway, I am actually going to go and do some...
Yeah, I've got to do loads of printing.
Work.
All right, thanks very much for watching, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being here. We'll see you all next week.
See you next time, folks.
More M to the Word. Bye. Cheers, guys. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.